I am very happy that you are here. This is Carol Newman, your host. It is time for Arts Live and Local. Let's see. Let me give you a little bit of a preview. I've got Noel Thomas sketching away as we speak. And we have a couple of folks from the new Astor Street Opry Company production coming up, opening actually this coming week. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Yes, that one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Diane Marshall's here from the Water Music Festival. And if all goes well, Don Copper, who opened in a show last night together with Carrie Conboy at Clatsop College Art Gallery, will be coming in as well. Let's get started with some music from Colleen Rainey, who will be at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach, Washington, on the peninsula, obviously, tomorrow, 7 p.m. Thanks for being here.
Sailor and his true love sat down to make them all, wherein by came their own countrymen. Saying, rise up, my bonny lassie, make haste and come away. There's a vessel lying bound for Caledonia. Said the sailor, are you willing for to pay 500 guineas before on board we go? I'll pay them black and farthing before on board I go, if you'll take me to my bonny Caledonia. Well, said the sailor, her money we will take, and when we're on the sea we'll throw her over deck, or sell her for a slave long before they know she's gone. And she'll never see her bonny Caledonia. Oh, said the captain, that'll never do, for there are no slaves sold into our country now. They would hang us every man, they would hang us one and all, if we sold her for a slave in Caledonia. She's lying down below, she's bound hand and foot and ready overboard to throw. She's bound hand and foot and ready overboard to throw, and she'll never see her bonny Caledonia. So the captain away to the fair maid he has gone, saying, what is the reason that you lie here so long? And what is the reason that you're lying here at all? For you paid your passage dear to Caledonia.
Oh, well, to hear the rest of the story, you're going to have to go and see Colleen Rainey, and she will be again at the Peninsula Arts Center in Long Beach tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. This, what you're hearing, Bound for Caledonia, is from an album Colleen Rainey and Colm McCarthy. And it's a wonderful, wonderful little album. The name of it is C-U-A-N. Quan? I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but I like it. And I thought it was appropriate because my first guest, I'm going to ask you to put down your pens and pencils now, just like the teacher does in school.
All right.
I know. Moving on. Noel Thomas is here, and you can recognize him because wherever he is, he's got a sketch pad and a pencil or a pen in front of him, and now I've made him stop so he can tell us why he's here. Well, I'll give you a start. Noel's opening a new show at the River Sea Gallery. It's called Ode to the Arrow 2, a show dedicated to the retired pilot boat with a dazzling array of other subjects. Oh, I like that, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it says on there. Did you see dazzling? And it opens tomorrow evening. Here's the unusual part. There is an unveiling that is 1 hour only from 5 until 6 tomorrow evening. It's kind of like a tease. And then, if you live around here, you can come back. you can come back anytime during the week and see the show. You can also join Noel and a lot of other artists in the area who will be showing for the second Saturday Art Walk, which is October 13th from 5 until 8. So welcome back, Noel.
Thank you, Carol.
So this show is, would I be right? I haven't seen it. So are most of the paintings in the show?
About a third of them are
the arrow.
I have 23 images, believe 8 of them are my little tugboat, the Arrow 2.
Your little tugboat. It's sweet. Yeah. It's a great. Is this your painting right here on the?
Yes, it is.
That's lovely. So, no surprise there. And you've got the big boat, the big ship in the background. It looks almost like fog. But when I put my glasses on, I could tell that was a ship. Fogged-in ship. That's it. So tell folks what is the Arrow 2? And also, is this going to be a watercolor show?
Oh, yeah.
All watercolor. Okay.
Your
trademark.
Some different surfaces that the watercolor's on, but...
Okay, well, as long as we touched on that, what do you mean? What kind of surfaces did you paint on?
Oh, it seems every now and then somebody comes up with another surface to paint on. It's gotten to the point now where they're not all paper. There are two new ones, relatively new, within the last few years. And one of them is called Yupo, Y-U-P-O. And it's a plastic film, transparent. It's opaque. Mm-hmm. It's opaque white plastic film that I don't know a whole lot about other than somewhere I heard that it was developed for some kind of photographic printing.
Ah.
Okay. Well, the surface of this particular thing, Yupo, is like a china plate. It does not absorb the watercolor. It's a drying process on the surface of this plastic, and you have to wait for that. And you better have your table perfectly level, or it's all going to end up in one corner, because it's like poor art. You pour it on there, big globs of it, and then you tilt your board around.
Oh, right,
it.
Sure, yeah.
Have you seen the Eiffel Tower painting?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
oh,
that
yes.
was on the Yupo,
oh,
that crazy
I
sky.
I like it. I like that. Yeah. So you have to be, I didn't realize, I was thinking it would be easier, but now I'm thinking it might be a little challenging because you have to sort of keep it guided in.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're trying to break in a new pony or
right,
something.
Right, that's
the But this one is a very stubborn one because... you can only hope you're getting it where you want it, and it'll stay put.
So do you use a regular brush on it?
Yeah, use regular brushes, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's one surface.
Why do you like it, considering how challenging it is? What do you like about it?
That's what I like about it. You know, a lot of artists will stick to one thing, and... if you do that long enough, you conquer it, and you know what you can do with it. and so it makes the job a whole lot easier. You know, if you wait a certain amount of time, turn the brush around, use a scraper edge, and scrape the color out, you're going to end up with a nice clean line of paper. But with Yupo, have I even tried that? I'm sure I have. But it would probably just close up again. I mean, it's crazy.
That's great.
But so I like to push the envelope, as it were. Mm-hmm. I like to use different surfaces so that I stay completely entertained.
And the unexpected comes at you.
Yeah. I've equated watercolor painting in general as, for me, it's like being in a race car, driving a race car. And you better know what you're doing when you're coming up to a corner and do your slowing down before you get there and then accelerating out of the corner once you're through it or almost through it. Watercolor's like that for me. I had that concept endorsed. I was in Chicago a week and a half ago. It's sitting in a racing car, a Porsche, my friend was taking me around this regular racetrack, a real racetrack, in the Chicago area. And I hate to admit this, but I lasted three laps, and I had to have him let me out. I got so car sick. Not used to the G-forces and all of this different stuff that goes on. So watercolor's not that tough.
No. Okay. There you go. You'll stick to the painting. Okay, so that's the Yupo. What other surfaces?
Okay, another one is, let's see, they call it Terra Skin. Now, it doesn't make any sense at all. I asked, this is Dots and Doodles. They're always, whenever they get something new, I'm the
guinea pig.
Yeah, guinea pig. So they gave me some of this, and I worked with it. And they say it's made with stone and gelatin. Now, what I have found out, it's very thin. I mean, it's scary. It's so thin. You can wrinkle it. You know, you can put creases in it, which is, you better really have it taped down. It does go into the paper somewhat. As long as it's really wet, you can manipulate it a lot. You can take color almost completely out of it with a thirsty brush. That's a damp brush that you put back into the wet watercolor and let the brush soak it up.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's dry, then it's a lot harder to make any more corrections. I like it. I like Yupo, and I like this Terra Skin for the fact that colors are really very intense because they're not being soaked into the paper at all. There's no texture, so you're not casting any shadows at all. And it's a very exciting medium to work with. Then, of course, I use regular watercolor paper. I use another one called Plate Bristol. It is paper, but it is a very, very hard finish. That's the name, hence the name plate. A very hard surface. And it absorbs, but you have to wait for a lot of drying to take place. And that's where you can really have a lot of fun because it's vulnerable to any little whim you might have. I have one painting in the show. It is on Yupo, and it is of the Aero 2, where I wanted it to look like it was really stormy and rainy. And I thought, what'll I do? I'm patting my pockets and everything. Patting my pocket, and, I came across my comb. So this is risky business, but I used my comb on it and then went back in and made some a little more definite than others and so forth. But when I am painting, the gambling and the risks that I take make it really fun for me. That's what makes it exciting. For me.
And people better be careful because you'll just grab whatever you find that might work. Is that it?
So that's it.
If you're anywhere near Noel and he's painting, watch your stuff. Yeah. Well, now tell us, some people don't know what a pilot boat is, especially if they don't live around here.
Which
so.
I'm surprised because the Aero 2 is, it's a little love affair I have with the Aero. I am very fortunate in that I live up on the hill. And I have a tremendous view of the river. And 14th Street, where the pilot boat comes out. And I'll see a ship starting to come up river, or coming up river, say it's about 8th or 9th.
Mm-hmm.
It might be even less than that. But anyway, I'll see the bow of a ship coming through the trees. And then I know in about a minute, I'm going to see the Aero come out. And it's just so beautiful. The Aero 2 is this beautiful, charming little boat. It's a throwback. It was in service for 54 years.
Oh, my.
54 years.
Doing just that?
Doing just that on the Columbia River.
Oh, my.
For the Astoria Barbara.
Now, when I say people don't know, I mean, we're broadcasting all over the world.
Yeah.
So people don't know. All of the big ships here, unless they get a dispensation from I don't know who, need to have a bar pilot and a river pilot.
Right. The bar pilot is the pilot that meets the ship before it enters the river, a few miles out in most cases, I understand. And then it guides this ship. It takes over from the captain of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't, he tells the captain of the ship what to do. He does not.
No, he stands over. Right there.
He's right there with him.
Well, she, Deb Dempsey. Yeah.
And you see that? You see that buoy right there?
Yeah. Don't hit it.
No. And so then he, the pilot, bar pilot, brings the ship up into the river, up to about 14th Street, where the river pilot, if the ship is not stopping, that's a whole other story, really. But if the ship is continuing up the river, then it has to get the bar pilot off, the ocean pilot, and put on the river pilot. So the Arrow 2 would come up, and just so beautifully, it's like a dance. It was like ballet, reminded me, just taking this slow arc, and by the time it comes up alongside the ship, it doesn't speed up, it doesn't slow up, it just comes at the exact speed that the ship is going. It's just a beautiful marriage. It's amazing. It's so, and I credit the skipper of doing that, of course, but the Arrow is the thing I'm looking at.
Yeah, exactly. Forget the skipper. You're painting the little boat.
Yeah, I get to see the Arrow do that. So, you know, I just, over the years, I've watched it now for 12 years, and really was, my feelings were really hurt when they decided to retire it. And it's going to take me quite a while to have the affair that I've had with the Arrow 2.
And they have a new little boat.
They have a new.
So you haven't accepted the new boat yet?
No, not at all. It's like a new car. The last car I rented talked to me, and I hated that.
Well, this is great. So everyone will be able to experience the Arrow 2, if only through Noel's eyes and wit and hands and skills. And you will be able to do that tomorrow night for 1 hour only from 5 to 6 at the River Sea Gallery, which is on Commercial between 11th and 12th. And then on next Saturday night from 5 to 8 during Art Walk. And you'll be at both of those receptions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And are all the paintings new, or did you bring in, other words, the you said a third of the...
No, they're all new.
They are all
they're
new.
All new images,
okay.
Yeah.
And the others are less passionate than your affair with the...
Oh, my girl, you know how passionate
Well, I was going to say, everything you do is passionate, so perhaps...
Last year I got passionate over a little teddy bear. And
that's
painted
true.
That.
So the other...
This year I got passionate over some cows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I love those little guys.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. A bouquet of daffodils. I don't do a lot of flowers, but this one is sitting on the dining room table and said, you know, paint me.
And the others are of the river and other boats and
ships.
Yeah,
the Warrenton boatyard where they keep the fishing boats in Warrenton.
Right.
It's a whole lot of different stuff. One that I was inspired to do on a trip to Italy, and I won't tell you what that one
is. Oh, okay.
You might not even come to the opening if I did.
Oh, dear. Well, I think it's going to be, I know it is, because I'm one of your many fans here. Yeah. And
let me interrupt one sec. Just,
okay, one quickie.
One more, it's like 5 seconds. Okay. You see me sketching all the time all over. There'll be a whole lot of these sketches,
mm-hmm.
not framed,
mm-hmm.
just pinned on the wall. So, and they're very, very reasonable. So look for those.
Okay, so that's another way you can bring Noel into your home. That's great. Well, thank you so much. You know what? I took a little mini class just now. I've got it all written down. The UPO is plastic film, opaque, slips and slides, terra skin, stone and gelatin. Both of those good because there's no texture, so there's no shadows. It doesn't soak in, so you get intense colors. Pretty good, huh? I took notes. I don't go to school anymore.
I didn't think you were listening at all.
Thanks a lot, Noel. Hey, thanks so much for coming in. Congratulations on another show.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing this.
It's a real treat.
I'm sure. Okay, take care.
Yeah.
And I have some music for you from my next guest, which is the Talk About the Water Music Festival. Here is Swing Fever.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, it's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Now you go through St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, and Oklahoma City, it looks mighty pretty.
You see Amarillo,
Gallup, New Mexico,
Flagstaff, Arizona,
don't forget Winona, Kingman, Barstow, San Bernardino, won't you get hit to this kind of tip,
take a tip, take a tip, when you make that California trip.
You can get your kicks on Route 66.
Is Swing Fever, and they are going to be playing right here in this area, actually in a few places, but I have Diane Marshall here to tell us about the fabulous annual Water Music Festival. What number is this, Diane?
This is number 28. Woo-hoo! We've been going for a long time.
28 years.
Yes, in fact, I was just had Noel Thomas on, which was part of the, he was part of the first year ever.
Oh, he and his wife Pat,
and they started with a little concert at Oysterville Church.
Oh.
And the whole audience got to go to the reception in a home in back of that church.
Oh, I know whose home that is, too.
Oh, do you? Well, and they even used to use live, real candles at the church because electricity. And then one of the board members backed up to a candle and his coat caught on fire.
Oh, my
God.
That's
they went to battery-operated candles later years.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea, actually. So, so did it used to be more classically oriented?
Well, it still is.
It is.
Usually the Sunday concert is a little bit lighter, and that's why, and I love jazz, so that's why I like to book a wonderful jazz ensemble or something like that for the Sunday concert.
So who is this Swing Fever group that's
Swing
coming?
Fever is a wonderful, wonderful group that has been performing for years and years. They're out of San Francisco. There are five fabulous instrumentalists and a wonderful vocalist, Denise Perrier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, they've performed with the likes of Count Basie and Duke Ellington and lots of famous people. So they are just going to entertain, especially people that are familiar with jazz tunes of the 30s and 40s and 50s and, you know, the Mood Indigo kind of thing.
Exactly.
And what you just played.
I was thinking folks who listen to In the Mood, as a matter of fact, is the name of a show here at KMUN on Tuesday afternoon, Wayne Downing's show. Mm-hmm. And that's the era. He goes on both sides of it. But, fabulous. So, okay, so this is happening next weekend, folks, so don't panic. You've got time to catch your breath and figure out what you want to do, when you want to do, or if you want to take in the whole shebang, which some people do, right? You can buy tickets for the whole thing.
You can get a season pass, which includes Friday night at the Hilltop Auditorium in Iwako, Saturday night at the Hilltop Auditorium, and Sunday afternoon this Swing Fever concert, which happens to be a free concert, and then also the Oysterville concert on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock, mm-hmm, with Scott Kreitzer, fabulous classical guitarist.
And where is he from?
He's from Portland.
Great.
And he's played here before several years ago with the woman vocalist that's going to be performing Friday night at the festival. Mm. He will be backing up her and her partner, Mark Grimm, who is a baritone, and they are fabulous vocalists. But then when Scott gives his solo concert the next day at Oysterville, completely different program.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Classical guitar, yeah.
Yes.
And the Friday evening is the Miramount.
Miramont Trio.
Trio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that, because he's the third. Right.
He's the third one.
I'm looking. There's only two.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, used to be a duo.
okay. And so are they, what kind of music are they doing?
Well, they'll have some operatic arias, the famous Nessun Dormo
O
Mio Bambino Caro from Puccini's. Puccini, wonderfully emotional mm-hmm, aria. And then some lighter operetta and show tune kinds of things.
Okay.
And they're mesmerizing, as I understand it, the two of them together, and with Scott backing them up, it should be just a fabulous program.
I like this. I just read Water Music Festival 24, Music of the Masters from Bach to Basie. That's great.
Yeah,
I thought up that little quip. Yeah, I'm sure you did.
I wanted all of the artists to play music of really well-known masters so that the music might be familiar to more people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But with quite the range there.
With quite
the range. And then Saturday evening, Golden Flute Chamber Trio. I see a bass and a mm-hmm, one flute. Are there two? Or
one flutist. One flute? She was here quite a few years ago, but mm-hmm, she's really, really terrific. And then a string bassist and a marvelous classical concert pianist. So won't that be a nice trio?
Gorgeous.
A nice blend of sounds.
Yes, and each one of these concerts is so completely different. So,
mm-hmm,
what do people do if they would like to be involved in this?
They can go online to www.watermusic.com. And they can buy a season pass. They don't need a ticket for Sunday because that's free, but they can buy a season pass, or they can buy just Friday night, or just Saturday night, or just Friday and Saturday night. They can buy tickets to our Saturday night reception, which is held down at the Port of Iwako at Pelicano Restaurant, and that's a very fun event because mm-hmm, artists are there,
mm,
and so they can get tickets for that as well.
Now, I'm looking in for the Scott, is it Kreitzer or Kreitzer?
Kreitzer.
For the Scott Kreitzer concert Saturday afternoon, it says available with season pass.
Right. When you buy the season pass, you get Friday night, Saturday night, and that ticket.
Okay.
Sunday, you don't need a ticket for, you just come.
Right.
But if there are any tickets available,
that's what I was wondering.
And not all of the passes sell out. You know, the Oysterville Church only holds about 120 people. So if there are a few tickets available, I'll announce that from the stage on Friday.
Oh, good.
Or people could just come and hope.
And if you haven't been to the Oysterville Church, or if you haven't been to a performance there, it is a delight. It's just
it
a sweetest place, and it does hold quite a few considering.
It does.
But I enjoyed just being in the space and also the performance as well. The other performances are all at Hilltop Auditorium in Iwako. Okay, and that's part of the school, isn't it?
That's part of the high school, just right 2 blocks up Brumbach Street from the main drag.
Okay.
And we also have our young artists that perform.
Yes.
We started that program about 3 years ago, and a young artist from the community performs maybe 2 songs just at the start of each concert. Oh, boy, are they ever going to be good this year.
Who gets to choose which kids get
Well,
performed?
I guess I do.
Oh!
August Frame, a marvelous young baritone singer, will perform Friday night, and Anya Patton Saturday night.
Yes, I know
you know
Anya.
About her. Sure. And she's actually going to sing a duet with August on Friday night as well. They're going to do a duet from Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh, nice. And Diane, what is your position in this Water Music Festival?
I'm a past president, and this year I have continued on as booking chair and festival chair for this particular festival.
Okay.
You know, we have jazz and oysters and music in the gardens and other
lots of good things. So really, people, even if for some reason you can't make this, it's really worth going to the website because there is stuff, they do stuff all year round. Now, when you said the website, did you mean watermusicfestival.com or just watermusic.com?
Watermusicfestival.com.
Okay. That's what we'll do. It's a terrific and very... very much involving the community. So, well, thanks. I love the way you keep your finger in the pie no matter what, because you're so creative about all kinds of things. People, you should check out Diane Marshall because she's always making things happen too. So
I think next year we'll do American composers only. Now, everybody that comes will know all of that music.
Oh, sure.
So I'm already looking forward to next year.
Yeah, you're going to have hip hop? No.
Gosh, you know, maybe ragtime.
We're getting closer, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much, Diane.
Thanks, Carol,
keeping the festival going and for coming in and letting us know what's happening. Again, this is next Friday evening at 7:30 at the Hilltop. That's the Miramont Trio. Saturday at 7:30 is the Golden Flute. And then if you're smart, you just pick up a season ticket, and you get to go to the Saturday afternoon concert and the Pelicano reception. And then, of course, Sunday, that fabulous Swing Fever we just heard. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carol, for supporting us.
You bet. And I do have some music here from the Marvins. They are going to be at the Fort George next week. Not this week. We don't have this week's music, but some folks send, some don't. Thanks for listening. KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, and coastradio.org, wherever you are. Is the Marvins. Again, that's next Sunday night. This Sunday at Fort George is Cornshed, Canadian Country and Folk. which should be a lot of fun, too. You can hear music at the Fort George every Sunday evening. And there is music. I should mention, in case you've missed this, almost all of the restaurants, not all, but many, many of the restaurants and establishments in this area, on the peninsula here, Cannon Beach, Seaside, people are bringing in local, especially musicians, to play and entertain you, and they are wonderful. So we are very, very lucky. And we're also lucky because the play that is going to be opening on Thursday is something I've been looking forward to, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And I have the director and one of the cast members, and I am delighted to welcome Marcus Brown. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for having me again.
You bet. Marcus is the director. We spoke to you, what was it, a month and a half ago or something?
It was about a month ago now.
Yeah.
Maybe a month and a half, yeah.
Yeah, there were a bunch of...
time flies.
Yeah, I know, whether you like it or not, or whether you're having fun or not.
Right.
Well, I'll ask you, have you been having fun?
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, let me introduce my other guest. Deborah McEwen is here as well, and she is playing, well, if you know Deborah, just think about it, folks, and figure out what role she's playing. Actually, how many female roles are there?
Three. Four.
Oh, are there? How many big female roles are there?
One.
Thank you. I rest my case. Deborah's got it. And I'm scared of her. So, have you been having fun?
We have had a ball. When you put this many talented adults in a room and get to work with this sort of subject matter, shenanigans will ensue.
would you ditto that, Deborah?
Oh, more fun than should be legal.
Oh, my goodness. And this is working on, well, how would you describe Cuckoo's Nest?
Well, you know, to me, it's this version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is lighter. It's warm. It's tragic, but it has an awful lot of humor in it, and it's inescapable through the dialogue. The mm-hmm. way that Dale Wasserman adapted Ken Kesey's novel, unavoidable.
So this is the play adaptation as opposed to anything to do with the movie.
Correct. This is a play adaptation of the novel, and it's very, of course, Ken Kesey, the master of allegory.
And an Oregonian. Mm-hmm. We are so proud
indeed,
of him.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's hard to describe in a perfect box, but it is certainly a drama. Certainly a drama with a lot of I guess you would say uncomfortable humor, wouldn't you say that?
Yes, right? I would.
You know, we're really looking forward to seeing how the audience reacts, if they're, wow, should I laugh at this?
Well, I'm thinking it's kind of like a pressure cooker, some of that laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I haven't seen this version, so I'm thinking too, I'm wondering, you laugh and then you go,
oh, yeah. The way that Dale
Guilty
Wasserman.
Pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. In the way Dale Wasserman, the adapter, structured the play, one moment you're really laughing hard, and the next minute the air comes out of you. And it happens several times.
Wow.
And so it's fun.
So, how, Deborah, how is that to act? Now, do you ever get to be funny?
Only inadvertently.
I was going to say, people may
I am at all.
At you, but not with you, perhaps.
Not really.
Now, folks, in person, she really is quite a charming person. But in this role, I'm wondering how this worked on you, because this is a heavy-duty role. Nurse Ratched, in case you haven't guessed it by now, folks.
Ratched.
Ratched. As in wretched?
With a D, yes.
Ratched.
I don't know. Carol, I'm embarrassed to say it kind of came naturally.
Well, hey, let's be honest.
I'm glad you said that.
Deborah's analysis of Ratched to me really rings true with her performance, in that Nurse Ratched, if I speak for Deborah, Nurse Ratched is a tool in the machine of the Combine. So it's the system that's the bad guy. You have to keep that in mind. And that was Ken Kesey's words himself, folks. Mm. That's not just our analysis. So Deborah's just a tool of the system. So
not Deborah. Nurse Ratched.
Nurse Ratched. Yes. And Nurse Ratched isn't really inherently evil, although mm-hmm. I suppose most people will walk away thinking she is, and that's certainly been mm-hmm. the stereotype. But mm-hmm. she is simply trying to keep her little world in order, running smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. if the things that she does to accomplish that seem evil, they don't to her.
Did you?
I know a lot of people like that. That's the problem.
Yes,
with
I do too.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
Deborah, did you decide whether or not she enjoys what she's doing? Did you ever figure that out? Because I know that was really up in the air.
I think she enjoys it with Randall McMurphy. I think he challenges her in a way that she's never been challenged, and she actually does enjoy the sport of it, I think, with him.
Oh,
but everybody else, I think she's just trying to keep them orderly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And keep herself, you said, keep her own space. Mm-hmm. So that would be, mm-hmm. I wouldn't call that enjoyment, but satisfaction at least.
Satisfaction with her work,
yes. I can control
right.
my life.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Even if it stomps on you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what about for you, Marcus? You said you guys all had a great time, but how is it to draw that kind of energy out of people?
Well, I'm fortunate to be working with players that are incredible. Steve Wood is playing Randall
yes.
McMurphy,
oh, yeah.
and in so many others. Wow. I have Barry Sears playing Chief Bromden, mm-hmm. and it's been extremely rewarding, and it's been inspiring at moments. You know, you won't expect it, and then it happens, and it's like, whoa.
mm. Have you directed before?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is one of many productions I put on at the Opry Company in the fall slot form. But this is certainly the most extreme production I've ever directed.
Well, I would say this is probably one of the most extreme productions the Astor Street Opry has put on. Although, Keho? Keaho's pieces. Some of them were, and some of those one acts and monologues have
yeah,
been very, very
they,
powerful. Too.
Yes, they were yeah. definite dramas, but yeah. this one is extreme in its subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
It has strong language. It has some sexual overtones. And,
so this is. Would you say this is for?
Mature
audiences, mm-hmm. and teens can come if their family.
Certainly, yeah.
Just
folks need to be prepared that it is adult subject matter,
right.
and to be.
Do you want to, in one sentence or two, tell what, in case there is anyone? Obviously, Oregonians
mm-hmm.
and most Americans do mm-hmm. know this story, but there may be some
overseas
who don't. Yeah.
Across the river.
The basic premise is you are introduced to a group of men in a sanitarium that may or may not, to whatever degree, suffer from mental illness, and they're under the suffrage of a nurse Ratched, that seems to enjoy keeping things really tight, and they do group therapy sessions in which they tear one another apart. And we're introduced to the protagonist, or antagonist, excuse me, Randall P. McMurphy comes in, and he's kind of a rebel rouser, backroom brawler, gambler, and he really inspires the inmates, the patients, to face their fears and to face life and to take life by the horns and go after it. And the way he does it is by taking on Nurse Ratched's system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, Chief Bromden, the large Indian in the show, is somewhat the narrator. And he kind of has his own epiphany. And it ends extremely beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can
mm-hmm.
say. It has an ending you will not ever forget.
Mm. Well, I think anything else you want to, because with that, I mean, it's just obviously everyone needs to see this play. It is opening this Thursday. That is the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And I did write down, but it's not here. It's Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 7:30. And there's one Sunday production.
Correct. The second weekend of the performance.
Okay. There are only 2 weekends?
There's three weekends.
Mm-hmm. So the middle weekend. Mm-hmm. And this is at the Astor Street Opry, which is 129 West Bond, right across from the Pig and Pancake. And the phone number there is 503-325-6104. Now, it seats, Playhouse seats a lot of people. However, you do get assigned seats. So it's worth calling and reserving. You're probably going to be able to get tickets at the door. You never know. It might be sold out. But but you get your choice of seats if you call in and buy your tickets. And I'm maybe online as well? Is that?
I believe so. I believe so. At their www.shanghaidynastoria.com website has all the information of upcoming events as well as One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest.
Okay. And we also want to mention that the Astor Street Opry, and now we're going to just swing away to the other side, has auditions for Scrooged in Astoria, which is in a very different mood. But that will be happening on the 13th and 14th, and we'll talk more about that next week. So to remind you that you might want to get involved in something really lightweight, as opposed to the lighter version of something really heavy. Mm-hmm. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Dale Wasserman's interpretation or adaption of Ken Kesey's book. And congratulations to both of you. Mm-hmm. Deborah, thank you care. Break your leg.
Thank you.
Marcus, you stay on both feet.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Thank you so much for putting this together. It's very exciting for all of us. So again, 503-325-6104. And you can get your tickets or go online and find out anything you need to know. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol. See you at the
Deborah
show.
McEwen and Marcus Brown from the Astor Street Opry Company. And I have one more guest coming in. But first, some music from Holly Near. Oh, Holly Near is coming to our area. KMUN is bringing her. KMUN and KTCB Coast Community Radio is bringing Holly Near here on October 18th at the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. One show only. And you know, the Coaster, I think it seats about 200. So you might want to get your tickets, and you can get them. You can call us here at the station, 503-325-0010. And find out more. Thanks so much.
Full moon rising, circle round. Shine your light when the sun goes down. Give a little happiness, give a little shout. Give a little love until the sun comes out. All night long, sing your song. All night long. The sun comes out all night long.
All night long.
Sing your song.
Sing your song.
All night long.
All night long.
Sing your song. Full moon rising, circle around. Shine your light when the sun goes down. Give a little happiness. Give a little shout, give a little love until the sun comes out all night long.
All night long,
sing your song.
Sing your song.
All night long, sing your song.
Well, with Holly Near in the background, I just want to, for a few seconds, just tell you what else is happening tonight. Is the Peace Vigil at 5 o'clock at the Post Office in Astoria. The Peninsula Arts Association 42nd Annual Art Show is happening today through Monday at the World Kite Museum in Long Beach. Sandtrap roots writer, musician John Bunzow. The Coaster Theater is coming to the end, folks, close to it. A week of August, tonight and tomorrow night at 8, Sunday at 3. Modern Western Square Dance at Astoria Senior Center, 6 to 7:30. Imogen Gallery, Friday night mixer from 5 to 7, yummy. And Nature Transformed is opening from 5 to 7 at the Pioneer Museum in Tillamook. 40 artists, and it benefits United Paws of Tillamook. Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco has their kickoff for the Community Historian Project, Pacific County Community Historian Project. They were on last week talking about it. It's going to be fabulous. If you live over there, even if you live here, if you want to be in an intensive learning experience, tonight you can go and find out more about it. And Astoria Q Film Weekend, they were here last week too. Sid was, is starting tonight, 7:30 at Kala Hipfish, tomorrow at 4 p.m. and at 7:30. That's three separate showings, lots of shorts, two 80-minute films, and tomorrow night it's going to finish up with a dance party. You can go to hipfishmonthly.com or brownpapertickets.com for more information and tickets. So I have my honored guest. I'm so delighted because he's the best smiler ever. I can't tell you. Don Copper is here, and you heard about him last week because Kristen Schock, who is also here, although she's leaning far away from the microphone. She was in last week to tell us about the show that opened last night. Yes, you missed the opening, but you did not miss the show, and I highly recommend that you not miss the show. Don is here from Chicago, and we're going to talk with him. Carrie Conboy was here from Monterey, California, and he's already headed out. The two of them have put together this amazing show. Don, I assumed from being around you two last night, first of all, you looked so familiar to me, and we figured out we met at Oh Not Terrell.
That's right. We met at the opening in February.
I love that, you know, from one art opening to another. But you come all the way from Chicago.
That's right. And I'm actually becoming really comfortable in my visits to Astoria. It's beautiful place.
Oh, good.
Great culture.
We like
wonderful
that.
People.
We like that. Well, we'll keep you here. Bring the family. Come on in. And so when I saw the two of you together, though, I thought you were old friends, actually. First of all, when I saw your art together, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is perfect. And then I saw the two of you interacting, and I thought, well, they've known each other for years. What's the truth?
Well, we had actually met just before the opening last night, right?
That's
probably
right.
An hour before the opening. But
face to face, you've been communicating by email.
That's right. That's right. We have been in touch with each other. I think it's largely thanks to Kristen and Royal and the faculty at the Art Center that they were the ones who decided that our work was compatible enough to show together. And I think it plays out quite well, don't you?
We had such a fabulous reception to the show last night. I think everybody left with smiles on their faces.
Yeah. And you can go around and around that room, too.
That's right.
And then turn around and go back the other way. The way it's hung with some of your pieces and some of his pieces. And
the interesting thing is that Carrie actually created his pieces in reaction to Don's.
Yeah. So what did you do? You sent him some images?
Yeah, electronic images.
Okay. Yeah. But what he said, which I really like that comment, that he saw your pieces and they were just open, and he wanted to populate
those environments. That's right.
Populate
that's
the
right.
environment.
Which I was really both flattered and impressed of even seeing the work that way, to feel inclined to populate it with figures, which it's a whole new way for me to see the work.
You know,
as well.
I showed actually it was Noel. I showed him the poster, and I said, "So these are two artists, and you know the way the poster is." Ah, right. And I said, oh, wait a minute, I need to explain. This is Don's work, and this is Carrie's work. And no, they don't actually ever intercept like this, but they're next to each other.
That's right.
And so they grow together, they move together, they dance together, and it's just...
Right, and his images are so colorful, so intensely colorful and energetic. I think they're a really beautiful contrast to the largely black and white images of mine.
But almost all of yours, I was checking, have some little sort of wash of color
in
there. Yeah,
there's just a hint of, I call them black drawings, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do anything without a little bit of color, right?
It's really lovely. You kind of come up to it and, oh, yeah, nice. So is there any way you can tell what your process? Let me mention that Don does have a day job.
That's right. I'm an architect in Chicago. I'm a principal of a firm called GREC. I'm the C. And we're about 15 people. We do a lot of commercial work and some public sector work.
Do the others make art? Some of them or no?
No, actually.
Okay. In my college, architecture was in the fine arts and architecture were in the same school, and so there was some mix. But architecture was considered really, really tough, and a lot of people just didn't make it going all the way through. I don't know whether that was your experience, whether you always knew you wanted to be an architect and the art came later, or what? What's the
Well, I've always drawn and painted since as long as I can remember, since I was a little kid, and since I also had an aptitude for mathematics. Of course, all of the adults around me put
the two together,
put the art and the math together, and said, "You should be an architect." Even before I knew what that was.
I like it.
But I got really lucky and went to a school of architecture at Virginia Tech, which is structured like the Bauhaus, sort of. It's best to know something about everything in order to be a strong architect. So I continued to pursue my artwork and picked up even a few more skills in different media, and I've continued to pursue it. It's a nice balance to architecture, which is a very rigid, highly collaborative, sort of budget-driven profession. It's a great profession. Very satisfying, but it's still done within some fairly rigid confines. And the art gives me an outlet to express myself in a more free-form kind of way.
Well, I would say you have outdone yourself on the expressing in free-form. And I also really enjoyed, and we're out of time, so you know, you're going to have to come back again. And next time you'll be on before your opening, too. The fact that it is... And what material, what media are you using?
Charcoal and graphite for the most part.
Okay.
But and very smeary.
Right, and smeary expressive. And sweeping and open and overlapping, and it's quite wonderful. So get yourselves up to the college, Clatsop Community College Art Gallery. Just go all the way up 16th, take a left, go as far as you can go. Boom, there it is. And you can catch Dawn's show and Carrie, and that goes through
October 25th.
October 25th. Okay. So you need to do it soon because time flies, as we all said. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
I want to mention.
And thank you, Kristen.
There you
go. I want to mention just a few other things that are happening. Lucy's Books on Tuesday is having the Willamette Saloon Haunting with Lisa Marie either Jeldricks or Yeldricks, and it should be a lot of fun because it partially takes place in Astoria, and bring your $3 and you get to go on a field trip after she does her reading. Pretty fabulous. Noel's opening tomorrow and next week. Lost Pioneer, Megan Liz Cole, 7 o'clock at Nestucca Valley Presbyterian Church in Pacific City in Tillamook County. She's doing it there Saturday night, and then on Sunday at 4 o'clock at Tillamook Pioneer Museum. Seaside Art Walk is tomorrow, and Trails End is happening before the 5 to 7 Art Walk, and it's featuring Jane Means. That's 2 to 5 in Gearhart. Colleen Rainey, we mentioned. Fundraising party for Parkinson's at Fort George Lovell Building, 6 or 8 o'clock. There's a bio blitz going on tomorrow all day. Photographer Neil Deal reception at Redmond Hall. Woolly Bear Cafe, a children's book at the Yes, at the Woolly Bear Cafe. Hello. Sunday, Barrel Jumpers from Nashville, Americana, and Bluegrass. That's at the Raymond Theater at 2 p.m. The Labyrinth Walk, 3 to 6. Fort George Corn Shed. Robin Cody. Oh, I love Robin Cody. And he is going to be at 2 o'clock in Surf Pines. Give a call. Write this down, 338, that's 503-338-6063. It's a benefit for CASA. Robin is a fabulous presenter, Voyage of a Summer Sun. And Swing Fever is also happening at the Coaster on Thursday, the 11th. Make peace and ask questions.